Hey, this is Frederick from Hammerfall, and you're watching CMS TV.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to whatever day it is.
It would be Monday, sir.
Is it?
It is. I don't think you know where you're at. What are you doing wearing a hoodie? I thought it was hot outside.
Fucking roasting outside.
So why are you wearing a hoodie?
All right. I had this discussion actually with my dad on the way home today. I was talking to him on the phone on the way home.
Okay.
Look, I can't deal... I wear shorts that aren't like, I don't wear like jean shorts or anything like that. I wear like basketball or gym shorts, whatever you want to call
them. Okay, sure.
And so if I put my phone in my pants pockets, my shorts pockets, then my shorts fall down and all you see is ass cheeks. You don't want to see that.
Okay.
Nobody wants to see that. And so I have nowhere to put my phone, my wallet, or anything else. I'm not buying a fanny pack because on a fat guy, a fanny pack just looks like, you know, you're fucking retarded.
Well, on a thin guy, it looks like you're fucking retarded, too. So let's just be clear.
Fanny packs are no good. Okay. Unless you're making your 80s or something like that, you can walk around with a fanny pack. Nobody's going to give you crap about it.
Right.
But for me, a fanny pack is going to look stupid. Plus, I probably need to buy an extra belt to kind of wrap it all around. And so I need somewhere to put stuff.
Okay.
And so the only logical solution is a hoodie.
Why don't you get a man purse?
I'm not getting a man purse. That's worse than a fanny pack. I'll get my little Kate Spade man purse out.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, you know, I decided that I want to come up with, like, an invention, and I don't know why people haven't done this in the past. Like, why aren't concert T-shirts, logo T-shirts, you know, whether it's NFL, whatever, or, you know, character T-shirts, any kind of fun T-shirt, why don't they have hoodie pocket in front?
Well, maybe you should invent that.
Now, my dad sent me a link to some, you know, generic. They have, like, generic T-shirts, like, with a hood attached to it that are, like, sleeveless and stuff.
Okay.
That have pockets in the front. So I'm going to have to buy a couple of those. But, you know, one, don't get rid of my billion-dollar idea. This is a hell of an idea. Just a regular T-shirt with pocket, like a hoodie pocket up front, so I can carry my stuff.
Dude, there's no reason not to have it. They make sweats with pockets now. Hell, I'm wearing a pair right at this minute.
So I wear a hoodie even if it's like 90 outside, because generally I'm indoors. So if I'm indoors at the radio station, indoors at the house, indoors in my car, I have the air conditioning on and it's not hot.
Okay. All right. Well, as long as there's a reason. I just saw you in the hoodie. I was like, what the hell? It's like 80 degrees today.
Yeah, it's way too hot outside to begin with. And it's really hot when I walk out in this hoodie, but I need somewhere to put stuff.
Right. Yeah, see, Habu got it right. Put on a vest, fishing vest, or, you know, one of these law enforcement vests.
All right. Look, I don't want to wear a vest. I'm not looking for a style statement. I'm just looking for something to put my shit into.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Get one like the cops wear. You can put all kinds of stuff in that.
Okay, wouldn't that be just as heavy as and hot as wearing a hoodie?
Yeah, but it's more stylish. You look more badass.
I guess I would look bad. Yeah, but I'm not like packing a gun. I'm packing a phone. And
yeah, but people wouldn't know that.
Maybe some Advil in case I'm sore. You know, I'm
look, you turn the phone so the camera's facing out. They'll think you're a cop. That's your camera. You know, that's your, you know, you're on vest camera.
I guess I could, you know, I do something like, but I'm thinking like I just want something lightweight, like a T-shirt or something that I could stick crap into.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to wear a fishing vest, as is recommended here, I only suggest doing that if you go to thesethwilliamsshow.com and buy the fishing hat.
Absolutely.
You have to buy the fishing hat.
I still haven't gotten my jacket that I wanted. I'm like, you realize I might be the only host in the history of hosts that, you know, doesn't own something. I'm sure that you have something CMS on it.
I do. Of course, right here. I have my mask.
See?
Which has never been worn.
At least you went to your site and you bought something.
Yeah, of course.
You don't own anything Seth Williams show, so see, you're not doing it either.
I still have my Subway hat. Does that count?
Yeah, so we bring everybody together.
That green hat that I could never wear on screen.
That was the greatest idea of all time. Let's give out green hats to people. In case you missed it, Chiselka, the guy that used to do the show, had this fantastic idea that we, you know, give everybody a green Subway hat who joined us on the show. Problem is, once they put it on, you couldn't see shit because it's in front of a green screen.
It green screened your head right out.
And so it disappeared everything and you look like an ass.
But I still have my Subway hat.
Yeah, well, I mean, I need to buy something off of thesethwilliamsshow.com.
I do too. I mean, I made all the products and I don't have it, which is pretty pathetic on my part.
You know, both of us need to buy something.
Yeah.
And we're not going to make any money off of it, but at least we have a product.
Yeah, well, that's true too. But it'd be nice if I could afford to buy something, Seth.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. So what happened? Like, I heard you had to pick up your car. We talked about this last week.
Yes.
Where you needed to get a transmission for your Nissan.
Yes. Well, I turned it in last Monday. I finally got the call today.
Do you mind if I ask where you took it, or you're not going to say?
I have no problem saying. I don't think they ripped me off or nothing. I have nothing bad to say about them. I took it to Jim and Sons over in Cuyahoga Falls. And I had never been there before. I'm not going to try and say that I knew somebody or anybody knew anybody. I called 400 places. The only one that could do the CVT was Jim and Sons. So I went to Jim and Sons, and it was, so I got through the week, you know, they called me on Tuesday to tell me that the transmission, the special CVT transmission with the programming and the installation, and you can only buy an OEM part, you can't buy used, $5,500.
I'm texting my wife right now as we speak, because I know that her mom lives in Cuyahoga Falls and gets her work done at a place there, and it's like not a shop, like not a main chain kind of shop. So I'm going to ask you if that's the same place.
Well, again, dude, it's not so much that. It's transmissions are definitely specialized. Like, you can't just go to an auto body shop and get a transmission done. You can't do it. I believe me, I called 400 places, man. So anyway, so $5,500. Bit the bullet. I said, fine, you know, because I don't drive a whole lot. So $5,500 made more sense to me than spending $3,000 plus $500 a month on a car payment. You know, just maybe. What? I won't buy a used one.
Car for $4,000, dude.
You know, yeah, but I'm a fat guy. I gotta have a nice big fat guy car. So it costs more. So anyway, I just was like, all right, bite the bullet, get it done. Thursday, I get a phone call. And they say, by the way, we couldn't test it when we brought it in, but now that we got the transmission in, we went and drove it around, and you have a bad wheel bearing.
Oh, boy.
Do you want us to fix it for you?
No, I'd rather crash my car.
Well, I'm like, well, how much is that? $400 and whatever. I'm like, what am I going to do at this point? I'm $5,500 in. Say no?
Right.
I have no option.
Plus, you don't want to die, dude.
Yeah, well, exactly. But I have no option. I mean, I have no option to, well, let me bring it back home and get my guy to look at her. You know, it's there. Get it done. So I finally got the call today. Car's ready to go. How much is it? And she starts off with, well, I just want to tell you before I tell you the price that you need to come in with a cashier's check or something because we've had problems running debit cards this high. I'm like, oh boy. I was like, all right, how much is it? $5,908.36.
Oh my good God, dude.
$5,908.36.
Wow.
So I'm like, holy shit. You know, that's a big bite out of my ass. So,
what car is that?
13.
Come on.
The whole front end was rebuilt like 2 years ago because my hood latch broke and the hood flew up when I was driving down the highway.
I had that
problem. It tore up the hood. It tore up the roof. It broke the windshield. It tore out the quarter panels on both sides. The insurance company replaced brand new all that stuff. So the car is like the whole front of the car is brand new.
Okay.
And now the transmission's brand new. I will get 5 to 10 more. It only has, dude, 10-year-old car has 110,000 miles. I'll get 10 more years out of it.
Like, I'm trying to look up. Jesus Christ, dude. Why is everything such a hassle?
Because it is.
All I want to do is look up how much your car is actually worth today.
Oh, it's probably $5,000.
You paid more than the car is worth to get it fixed.
Yeah. Because I don't want to pay $30,000. I just don't want to have a car payment right now. I just don't want to. You know, it's just,
I guess I understand that, but
I mean, that's really what it comes down to is, yeah. Dude, the economy going in the shitter, I don't want to be obligated to an extra $500 a month.
I'm not paying a car payment right now. My wife is paying a car payment.
Yeah.
But her payment is like $180 a month.
Yeah, but like she could fit in a regular car.
It's next to nothing for her car. So, you know, dude, I fit in her car.
Dude, I cannot fit in a Kia Soul or a fucking small car. It's got to be a Chrysler 300 or an Altima or a fucking truck. I'm a big fat tub of shit, remember?
Okay, you're a big guy, but we have the same make and model of car.
Yeah. She ain't paying $180 a month for a fucking Altima, unless she's leasing it.
She's not leasing, but it's a step down from an Altima. It's still a Nissan.
What, is it Sentra?
Yeah, it's a Sentra, but it's not as big. You might have trouble with that car, but
that's what I'm saying. I got to buy a bigger car. So,
I'm assuming you have decent credit. You own a business.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I mean, I could buy it in the name of the business if I wanted to, but
you would probably get a cheap payment for a decent sized car.
No, dude, I looked. I don't think I didn't play this game. I looked. I absolutely was like doing the $3,000, $4,000 down, whatever. The payments right now, cars are ridiculous. They're priced ridiculous, man. $25,000 car on fucking Carvana is a payment of about $450 a month with $3,000 down. So I could throw $3,000 down and pay $450, or I can just fix the transmission for $5,000 and I don't have a payment.
That is so expensive.
I know. I know. You don't have to tell me. So then I got to share this whole story because it actually plays out well in the end. So needless to say, I'm hemorrhaging money today. And as an independent business owner, when you're hemorrhaging money, you start looking around to who can you call, who owes you money, who do you owe calls to, whatever. You know, so I started making some of my calls around, right? So then my daughter calls me up and says, hey, can I borrow $400? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I give her $400. But now I'm really like, holy shit, I'm like $6,300 down today. You know, I'm like, fuck, you know, this is a bad day.
Yeah, that's not good.
So I get on the phone with an old customer that I've had for years. And I was supposed to do something that was about a $250 job, just a little small job. But he's like, he said to me, he goes, you know, I've been talking to some Indian guys and this is what I want to build. And I wasn't sure if you knew how to do this or what. And I was like, dude, I know how to do it. And I sold him on a nice $5,000 job. Plus, he wants to partner it into a business where I'm a 50% owner of this new project as a business that he will sell.
So there you go. That works out.
So it sort of all come around in the end to where I'll break even, I guess, for the car for the day. You know, instead of losing $6,000 today, I only lose $8,000. So I guess that's doable. That's welcome to owning your own business.
There you go. Yeah, if that happened to me, I got nothing.
Yeah. I mean,
I think that's all the more reason why people should go to thesethwilliamshow.com and buy some shit today.
Yeah, no kidding. Or sign up for Minds or something. Jesus.
Do something. For God's sake, we're not doing this for... Well, we are doing this for nothing.
We are doing it for free. So
the least you can do is buy something. A coffee mug or something.
Something. Hook it up.
TheSethWilliamShow.com.
That's right.
Or Minds.com/SethWilliamShow.
That's correct. Either or. That's been my day today.
My day wasn't that bad, so I'll take it.
You're like, I'm not the worst on this call.
Yeah, I was a bitch, and then I decided, I don't think it's anymore. I got a call the other day from one of my old bosses. I won't name any names, but it was an old boss in radio looking for Charlie's number. Charlie's auto repair in Lakewood.
Mm-hmm.
Because he needs his brakes done.
Was he a good boss or a dick boss?
I wouldn't say it was horrible, but... I got fired, so I mean, obviously, it wasn't the greatest of bosses. Mm. I wanted to call Charlie and say, "Yeah, get those brakes done. Just cut the line a little bit,
or just charge him 4 times as much."
Yeah, charge 12 times we charge me to get brakes done.
Oh, new brakes, $3,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I agree with Marcus here in the chat. No car payment and liability insurance is a lot easier on the wallet. I totally agree. Totally, totally agree.
I mean, that's the problem, though. I mean, a car's a fucking necessity. I mean, you need to get a car of some kind.
Yeah, well, I've gone 5 months without.
Okay, but you're not the average person.
Well, I know, but I'm saying for me, it made more sense to just get the transmission fixed.
You can live on having your food...
Having everything delivered to me.
Everything delivered to you.
Dude, I've adjusted so well to COVID lifestyle that I think prison wouldn't be that bad. Because really, the only difference would be not having the ability to watch the TV that I want to watch.
Right.
That would be the only difference.
I spent a year in this house
with
the inability, or in a house, with the inability to drive a car because I couldn't drive with my leg being gone and didn't have hand controls, didn't have a license, had nothing. So I was literally stuck in a damn house for like a year.
Right.
Before I was even relying on people to give me rides places, my wife especially, to give me rides places.
Sure.
And losing the freedom of driving a car would fucking kill me. I couldn't do it anymore. Like, I need that ability to, like, if my wife isn't home, to say, yeah, I just want to go get myself something to eat and go out and get something to eat. And DoorDash is way too expensive.
I understand that.
And so, you know, it's
pizza time.
I need that ability to have freedom like that. I can't be trapped in a house.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I'm not very much looking forward to getting my car tomorrow. I'm not gonna tell you like, I'm just gonna get it. It's gonna sit there for a week. It ain't. I'll be definitely out and about.
I mean, like, you got a concert coming up at your Pinball PA that we're gonna, you know, have somebody on and talk about and everything else. At the end of the month here, in just a couple of weeks, you need a car to get the hell out to Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah, well, and the timing is right.
Timing. Like, I don't know what I would do if I had my transmission just go on me tonight. I'd be fucked. I'd have to do something. I'd have to sell blood. I'd have to, like, be on the street prostituting myself. Yeah. Like, I bought a car. I was an idiot. So I bought this car back in the day, like, when my wife and I first were looking for a car for, you know, ourselves. So it had to be, we didn't have any kids or anything yet. And I bought this car off one of those fucking lots that looks like, you know, three Arab guys run it, and they, you know,
right.
It's not, it has no, like, dealership name, nothing. Yeah. Just some lot on the side of 117th. And, you know,
welcome to Abu Motors, sir.
Yeah.
Can I put you in an Acura?
And so I saw this car, and it was a Ford Mercury.
Yeah.
And this thing had, like, ground effects on it. It was cherry red, dude. It had ground effects on it, tinted windows. And I had a buddy who, like, put this, like, badass paint job on it with, like, a Transformer logo and all kind of cool shit on it. I mean, it was a badass car.
Okay.
I bought this thing outright for thousands of dollars.
Right.
And I'm driving this thing like a champ, dude, on the way back from, you know, buying it and then getting his paint and all that kind of stuff. The fucking next day, the transmission went on me. And, of course, they have those laws or the, you know, as-is kind of bullshit. And I called and I said, you could take your as-is bullshit and shove it up your ass. I was like, the transmission died the next day.
Sorry.
So, that's what he tried to say. No, I said, look, you'll be talking to some kind of lawyer because I'm not doing this. There's got to be some sort of lemon law, something that protects me from this.
Right.
And so they ended up settling with me, and they paid for half the transmission. And I wasn't happy about it, but at least it was something.
Right.
And on the way, the tow truck comes to get the car, right? And he ties a line to the front end, goes right through the fucking ground effects that I had. Cracks the fiberglass right in half. Dude. So now, after all is said and done, I'm like $3,000 more into this car. Didn't want to be. But it was cool. It was a great car. It looked great. But the problem is, every time I went over like a curb or a bump or anything, the ground effects would, like, would be all scratched up and horrible.
Right.
And one day, it had like racing hood pins in it. And I hood. And one day I was drinking, DJing, came out to leave, get on the highway, and somebody yanked the hood pins out to mess with me.
Oh.
And the hood went flying up on the windshield, smashed my windshield. The hood was all bent up. I couldn't see anything. I looked like Ace Ventura, like, driving down the highway and with my head hanging out the fucking window. I'm like a dog sticking his
right
trying to see where I'm going out the window. And I drove from Avon Lake all the way to Cleveland like that.
Wow. Jesus, yeah. Dude.
I even passed two cops, and they just kind of looked at me. One of them, actually, I remember, just went like that. Just could ask what happened. I mean, I'm really grateful he didn't pull me over, because that would have been a lot worse.
Right.
But, yeah, that was the end of that car.
That's funny.
But I had a nice transmission in it. After I smashed it and destroyed it.
Right.
I mean, this car that I have, I like the Nissan Altima that I have. I like that. It's a nice car.
Yeah, I love my car.
I have 90,000 miles on it.
Okay.
It should last me another 100, right?
As long as you take care of it. That's, I mean, that's what I'm saying. For me, I have, this is the first car I've ever taken care of. My entire life, I've beaten them all to death. But this is one I've really taken care of because I don't drive it very much.
I remember I've been to your house, I think, one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled into the driveway and I saw my car. It's like same color and everything. I think
right.
it's a different year, but it's pretty much the same exact car.
Sure. You're like, well, how'd that happen?
I'm sitting staring at my car is here. That's one time I was at your house. I've never been actually inside your house.
Nobody has. It's a fortress here.
You're like, you're like a hermit kind of guy.
I really am. I'm not. I do venture out to the front yard, though, a lot. I do venture out there and work a lot. I'll pull my laptop, and I got a little table out front, and I'll sit out there and work. I didn't today, though. I should have. Probably would have put me in a better mood, but.
Too hot to grill.
Yeah, but sitting on the patio there, it's not bad. Got the overhang. There's no sun doesn't hit me. I got a tree right in front of it, so it's actually not bad.
It's definitely a nice front yard. I did see that part of your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was over
Dude, I live like a college student, though. Everybody that comes over here is like, oh, you live like a fucking, like you're in college. Because I am definitely not organized at all. I got shit everywhere. Boxes and stuff. You know, clothes. You know, the where most people have a dresser, I just have the couch. You know?
Right. See, that's kind of, I mean, I hate to say that I'm kind of like that. I mean, my wife tends to, you know, keep a nice, tidy house for the most part.
Right.
We don't really cook a lot, so it's not like dishes are a problem and stuff like that. The issue that I have is using a dresser, like, in the morning for me, because I'm in a wheelchair
mm-hmm.
in the morning, you know, before I put the leg on and get, you know, ready and everything. And so using a dresser is fairly difficult when you're sitting in a wheelchair.
Right.
Drawers open and it's up hitting wheels, and it's just a fucked up situation. So I tend to pile my clothes on top of the dresser and just kind of yank shit off.
Yeah, that's good enough. Why put it in this dresser and close it just to go back in the dresser and get it back out?
Get it. Right. I mean, what's the point?
Seems dumb.
Yeah.
I'm so that guy. Dude, I'm telling you, I live like I'm like 19 years old living in the dorm. I really do. You know, I have a kitchen table that has like 1 inch of space on it because it just has stuff on it.
That's one thing my wife, man, I hear from her on that all the time, is that we have the dining room table. We do have like a dining room area. I mean, it's all open space. So there's like the living room, and there's a little dining room area with like light over top where you're supposed to put the table.
Yeah.
And there's a table there, and it's a nice table.
Right.
But it's covered in shit, dude. It's covered in actual shit. But like, I come in, I throw, you know, my jacket on it, then I'll put the mail on it, then I'll put like I think I got a cookie the other day, and I put the cookie on top of there. It just piles up with stuff.
Yeah.
All my pills that I take on a day-to-day basis are all piled up there. I think I forgot to put the ranch dressing back last night. It's still sitting on the desk. And then I get tons of shit from the wife. Like, why don't you put anything away? I'm like, well, why don't you?
It's away. You know where it is.
I know exactly where to find it now.
Yeah. I don't see the problem, personally.
No, there's no problem. I know if I want the ranch tonight, I know exactly where to go find it.
That's right.
The house is cool. So the ranch is there.
That's the difference between women and guys, man. That's really the difference between women and guys. The women, they all think that there's an order to everything where we're just like, as long as I know where it is, fuck it, it's good enough.
Yeah.
All right, you want to take a quick break here, and then we'll bring in Eric to talk moon landings or lack of such moon landings or whatever.
Yeah, I want
to
talk conspiracies with this guy.
All right. All right, well, we will have Stephen Piercy guitarist Eric Ferrantinos, also known as the co-host, the main host of The Great Chris Aiken Presents. Has my name on it, but it's all about him anyway. Because people want to hear, they want to hear about him. They don't give a shit what I got to say. They hear enough of me between Classic Metal Show and this show. They don't need to hear me on that one. So it's usually just Eric's story time. But we'll bring Eric on in a minute. But why don't we... Since we were talking about mines, why don't we remind people about mines? Does that sound good?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so hang tight. We will play a quick spot, and then we'll be right back here on The Seth Williams Show.
There's plenty of places to experience The Seth Williams Show, but if you want all the content, you need to join us on Mines. Get all the live episodes of the show every Monday and Wednesday from 4 to 5:30 p.m., get the special bonus footage every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Get bonus content from Seth and Chris as it's produced. It's only $4.99 per month, so don't wait. Sign up today. Visit us at www.minds.com/Seth Williams Show.
Are you looking for a way to support The Seth Williams Show? Get your Seth Williams Show merchandise today. From coffee mugs to clothing and everything in between, our high quality merch is the perfect way for you to not only support the show, but show everyone what is the greatest show going today. Just go to shop.thesethwilliamshow.com now, shop around, and buy some great merchandise from The Seth Williams Show. Shop today.
See, there's that fishing hat.
I like the shorts too. I wear shorts. So I need to get. All right, I am fucking retarded. At some point, I think like I actually became retarded, and I don't know what I'm doing because why don't I at least buy myself something? The money, some of it at least goes back to us.
Yeah, well, and I told you I can get it at discount.
Jesus, I called our next guest a guitar god today.
It's because he is a guitar god.
Is he?
He is. He can fucking play, man.
Eric Ferrantinos, how are you?
My dudes. What's going on, Seth? What's happening, Chris?
I called you a guitar god in the post today. I see you like the post. I don't know if you actually read it or not. But
well, thank you so much. You're very kind, Seth. Much too kind. I don't know if I'd call myself a god, but definitely a blue-collar working guitar hired guy, you know?
Now, when I say God, I mean that in numerous ways, because you're a good-looking guy, you look like the part, you look like the guitar dude, and you got to be getting ass like everywhere, or at least used to. And, you know, I said in the post that I want to know about how the tour buses are, and like, I live vicariously through guys like you. Look, I'm a one-legged fat fuck who has no musical talent at all, and I'm lucky that I am at least somewhat funny and entertaining at times to be able to do radio for the past 25 years, but you know, it got me my wife, which is great. Yep. But being a rock guy on a tour bus, touring the country where nothing matters at the end of the night other than alcohol and ass, has got to be like the life that I want to lead.
It's funny you said ass, because when I think of a tour bus, we call that whole section of bunks Ass Alley. And the reason why we call it that is because...
Not the reason Seth wants to hear.
No, it's not that reason. It's because of our buttholes, Seth, and the farts that they let out all night. When you have like 12 people farting in that bunk area, it's just awful. When you got to get up and walk down Ass Alley to use the bathroom or something at night, it's pretty gross. The whole experience is pretty disgusting. Typically, when you're, you know, a hired guy and the band might be in have a bus situation, you're living on that bus. Okay, so you no longer know what a shower is or anything like that. You have to like basically do like a homeless person would and bathe yourself in the sink. I would take like a towel and I'd wet it with some soap and I would try to, you know, wash myself the best I could. I had baby wipes that came in handy. I would, you know, do up a little hairdo in the sink or whatever. Shave in the sink, shave in a cup sometimes. I would have a cup of hot water or just like a soldier. I'd be, you know, doing it like that.
You're destroying every bit of glamour that I thought was on top of these tour buses.
Oh, well, yeah, let's take it even further than Seth. Eric, why don't you tell them about some of the fine accommodations you get now when you get to the hotel rooms?
Well, we usually base how good the room is or bad. I'll say, is it a bloody booger room? You know, which that's basically when there's bloody boogers on the lampshade or on the wall or anything like that. There's always something gross. I mean, probably the most common thing is other people's hairs. You know what I mean? You go to get in the shower and somebody else's pubes are everywhere or long strands of hair. But the carpets are all, you know, mildewy and crunchy. And, you know, you look at the chair in the corner and it just looks like somebody was some trucker was naked farting in it all night. You know, there'll be like a Soul Glow patch of like where somebody's head was like fell asleep smoking crack all night. I don't know, man. It's not all it's cracked up to be, but there are other times where I do get a great room and I take photos of it or what have you. We haven't done a tour bus in like a really long time, to be honest. Like the solo band has more done flyouts, which are a whole different yucky ball game. But I'm grateful that I get my own room these days after all the years in the band. But there isn't a bus. Buses are very expensive. They're like $5,000-$6,000 a week. Then you got to pay the driver and the fuel and all that stuff. It's actually still a little more economical for us if we just have a one-off to go buy the plane tickets and get out there. So I'm used to having my own room. If we ever do get a bus again, I'm not sure if I'm going to get both or not. I mean, I know what's in store as far as I told you, you know, with, you know, your hygiene and what to expect.
So, and I'm assuming that you're taken now, right?
Oh, yes.
And so, no, like, I'm saying, like, the scene had to be good early on in your career, though.
I had my fun, but, you know, looking back, it was like, probably for the wrong reasons. And a lot of it was regrettable. and there is a point where you just feel like a dirty dude. You know what
she's
I mean? You don't feel good about it.
She's not watching right now. Right.
I don't know. I don't know. But you know, I have been in a relationship for 4 years and we've been living together for 2 years. I have her name is Susan. And we have an awesome condo together on the beach. And certainly I would never do anything to jeopardize that. All right. You know, it comes with its bummers and pitfalls. I mean, especially nowadays with social media, a lot of stuff gets misconstrued. You know, you have to deal with that whole aspect where, like, chicks are tagging you and stuff that you really don't know who they are and you weren't with them, but they're like, hey, I'm with you at this thing, and just because they're at the show. And it's not easy for couples, you know. And it makes way more sense to have a real family and be at home and a regular job than to go out and try for this lifestyle.
Now you guys are coming to Cleveland, I think middle of July, right? July 20th, I believe, something like that. MGM?
I think so. I hope you guys,
I've got it in front of me. There's two big shows in our area. Friday, July 19th is the Rock Invasion with Stephen Piercy, Great White, Slaughter, and Stephen Adler. And if you don't want to drive all the way to Toledo, like me, you can go on the 20th over to the MGM, my favorite place to see a show, over at the casino, the Roxino, to see Stephen Piercy and, well, I don't even want to say and, I'm going to say Eric Ferrantinos with special guest Stephen Piercy. That's what I'm saying.
So where will you guys stay when you guys come to Cleveland? Obviously, that's a fly-in kind of thing.
Roxino, I would imagine, they have a hotel there probably, right, Chris?
No.
No, oh, they don't. But there's hotels close. There's
yeah,
the Dolphin Inn or something. Eric's gonna stay over here. Me and him are gonna get high and drunk.
hopefully. Well, you guys, of course, you and your friends are invited. Let me know. You know, you're my guests, of course. My colleagues, my fellow podcasters, that's my right. fellow Classic Metal Show Network veterans.
That's right. Yeah, it's going to be fun, though. We are going to have some fun. That's for sure. So,
yeah, this guy's right. This guy is sticking a pin in the balloon of all of my fans. Yeah. Like, you know, when we get guys on like you, I sit back and I just have these images of, like, seriously, like, naked chicks, like, hanging out the windows of the bus. And, you know, there's, like, beer everywhere, and like it's just one big ass party.
Hey, I don't know what it's like for other bands. I know, I mean, even for us, I don't ever remember it being like that. I mean, you know, Steven always had his own room. He was the one guy that did get off the bus at night if he could, if we were stopped there for the night. He was always married, so there wasn't that kind of thing happening in his life. And so if it was Rat in the 80s, it would have been a way different ball game. But this was this was the later in life. You know, Stephen was already in his 40s, I guess, at the point when I started playing for him. And that wasn't so much happening. Now, if he wasn't around, maybe it was a little different from time to time. Again, 25 years in the band, that was a long time ago. A lot of these shenanigans that might or might not have taken place back then, these people have grown up and moved on and gotten married and are grandparents now, and like, life moves on, you know. So there's no, I'm not in contact with any people from back then in most cases, and like, you know,
Eric, I've been trying to tell Seth for a year that it's a good day for a band backstage when your dinner doesn't come in a styrofoam.
Right. Yeah, I was just, I mean, at M3, I think I just posted a video backstage and there was literally no one in it. It's just a big room there. It's like, hey, here's our backstage, you know, but it's definitely not what people picture. That old fantasy, like, this isn't the 80s anymore and a lot's changed. I don't know, honestly. I haven't been backstage at a younger, relevant band's dressing rooms to see what's all going on there, but it's probably not what most people would think, you know? There's a business being conducted there and people have passes and there's security guards everywhere. And you're not going to see too much of that goofiness.
Dude, it's so I'm going to say it. And I have been backstage for a lot of these relevant bands and it's boring as shit.
Yeah.
It's, hey, here, do you want a piece of my fruit cocktail basket that I got here?
What's the Wi-Fi password?
And, you know, can somebody go up to the front and let my friend in? And, right. You know, there's nothing cool about it anymore. It's not fun.
It's still real to send, you know?
No, I'm gonna go to bed thinking that this conversation never happened.
Hey, look, Seth, we've totally seen the Motley Crue pictures from the 80s where those guys are having all kinds of crazy fun. But again, it was the 80s, way different time period. And, you know, misogyny was afoot, you know, where today that's not so much the case. And you know, everybody's looking to sue people and make claims and. Everybody's too freaked out to have a good time nowadays, I think.
Well, dude, when you see guys like Steven Tyler being sued for something that allegedly happened in 1975, right. 75, yeah. And she's suing him now. It's like, but, yeah, you're not going to do anything now. Forget it.
A lot of these people are just looking for some go away money.
Yeah, but that go away money still has to be paid if they're found guilty. So yeah. You don't want to be guilty of it now when right. somebody could. When somebody could have their phone out and just accidentally be, subliminally filming you or whatever.
Right. Back in these days when Motley Crue were doing all that, like, you're lucky if there was a payphone at the truck stop. You know what I mean? Yeah. There was no phone on the bus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nobody. I mean, if people had cameras, you saw that they had a camera and you could be like, hey, give me that. And you take the film out.
Right.
Or whatever. I don't know. I wasn't around.
Or it weighed 30 pounds and sat on their shoulder.
Right. 25 years ago, I mean, I still had the throwaway cameras that
you had to
like go and get them developed when I was first in the band. And then
right.
It was a really magical time when one of us got the first iPhone or whatever, whenever that was in like 2004 or 5 or something right there. And all of a sudden we had GPS and we didn't have to like use the Thomas Brothers to navigate the United States, which was a whole nother can of worms.
Right on.
I'm going to continue to live in my days of Girls Gone Wild and
all right.
and green rooms and had stuff going on in them, but that's all right.
I used to sell Girls Gone Wild when I was a telemarketer back in the 90s. Like, we had a lot of accounts, and we had the Cops TV show. We had Jerry Springer. We had the one you just mentioned, Girls Gone Wild.
I recognized your voice.
I probably called you, man. I sold you a three-quarter-length trench coat and a katana sword if you were a Highlander fan. But I couldn't stand doing that kind of work back then, the telemarketing, but I would just try to have fun with it. I didn't work very much. Looking back, that one job in particular that had all those accounts, I really should have worked a lot harder because it was like taking candy from a baby as far as like the fans of those shows and calling them up, like the Highlander one specifically. We also had Hercules and Xena Warrior Princess. And what would happen is they would show the catalog at some point during the show, and it was like, hey, you want a katana sword, or you know, you want to buy the VHS tapes, 12 VHS tapes, right? But you get a t-shirt. And anyways, they would ask for the catalog. Now, as soon as they got that catalog, we had their phone number and they were ours, you know what I mean? It was like, call them up and hey, it's Eric with your favorite TV show, The Highlander. Why don't you go get your catalog and your credit card? Because I'm gonna tell you something's gonna blow your mind.
Right? I'm pretty sure every video of Girls Gone Wild that was ever made.
I'm sure Eric probably sold it to you.
I'm telling you, and I was like the worst as a kid, man, because I was, you know, look, forget about the question I'm asking you now. I was a fucking terror when I was a child. And so, like, I would get those magazines, you know, not the, like the Playboy or Penthouse, but the, like, the real ones, like Cherry and Legs magazine.
Wee!
X-rated shave peepees.
Swank!
And so, like, in the back, they had, like, every 900 number known to man. Instead of the 900 number, I would do the ones that seemed, I didn't know any difference, but 011. I didn't realize it was an international call.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom got a bill for like $1,500.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, I have no idea. I don't know.
Are we related? Because I had the same thing happen to me. Literally, when my single digits, somewhere I came across the phone number, and so I was like, yeah, this is a, and I called it up, and there was a series of like recordings on there, and they really weren't saying anything too bad to my recollection. This was a long time ago, but if I remember, they'd be like, oh, you're the ice cream man. I could use some ice cream right now. Is that a cone? I'm going to lick your cone. It was like stuff like that. And I was like, oh, it's kind of wrong. But anyway, my parents did get some kind of bill for, I don't know how much it was. I don't think it was $1,500. It was probably like $150, somewhere around there. It was still back in 1979 was a lot of money. That was like $15,000.
I was a little perv, man. It did not go well for me. So that's what's tough about my childhood is that I got in trouble for the $1,500 bill that was, you know, for porn on a phone, and then I got in trouble because I didn't return Aladdin on VHS and I had it hidden in my fucking closet. So I was a messed up little kid. But
you felon,
yeah,
you Aladdin thieving felon.
Blockbuster's still looking for that shit.
$2 are knocking on the door.
Jeez. Well, before you two start off going into the moon landing stuff, I just wanted to get, for people that don't know Eric, I of course do a little bit. I've met him before. Eric, why don't you tell people what is going on with Stephen Piercy Band right now and what they can expect at the July thing? Because, you know, we know it because we talk about it all the time, but I don't think this audience knows. It's a really cool set that you guys are playing. Why don't you tell everybody what's going on with that?
Well, as most hair metal fans know, Rat's big first debut album, Out of the Cellar, had some of their biggest hits, Round and Round, Back for More,
Wanted Man,
In Your Direction, The Morning After, so many great songs on this 1984 release. What an amazing time in hard rock history back then to see this Southern California band skyrocket to platinum success. Here we are, 40 something years later, and we're basically doing a tribute. We're doing the Out of the Cellar album in its entirety, and that's been very well received. Everybody's super excited for that. And then after we wrap that up, if we have more time, we start playing a couple of other hits and such from it. There's been a couple of appearances that we've done where we weren't playing as long and we had to modify the set. I think when we play this Friday with Quiet Riot, I think it's a shorter set, and we aren't, from what I understand, playing it in its entirety. It looks like it's just a 45-minute set. Sometimes at casinos, they don't want a really long concert. They want people gambling, you know what I mean? So they want to keep people there for about 2 hours, then want them back in the out playing on the machines and stuff. So this whole, which isn't a bad thing, like to go to the casino, I think it's the Hard Rock in Oklahoma. To go there and catch Quiet Riot, Stephen Piercy, and with 2 hours be out, playing poker, whatever you do is fun. Everybody's older now. They don't need to be there for the 3 hour set. But in most cases, you'll see us doing the whole Out of the Cellar. We just did M3 Festival Maryland last week, and we did it there. We did Out of the Cellar, and then we threw in like You're in Love and Lay It Down, and we were out skis. But it was a lot of fun. That's what people can expect. It's Stephen Piercy's Rat. We got a big banner up there, so it looks like a Rat concert for the most part. And you're getting all their hits at this point. So check out Stephen Piercy official, or is it officialstephenpiercy.com?
Right.
And you can go to his tour page and see all the latest dates of where we're going to be.
Very good.
All right. So one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is because I've been talking to somebody that knows a lot about, or says that there was no moon landing.
Right.
And I heard that you were a conspiracy guy, kind of like
sure
I am, and Chris is kind of. But, Chris seems to think that the moon landing happened, and I am in complete disagreement.
I'm going to hold on. I'm saying I don't know. Right. Here's what I'm saying. To be clear on what I'm saying, because I hear this all the time from Eric. Believe you me, every conspiracy that goes on, I get a text from Eric. So I hear about this all the time. I'm not saying that it happened for sure, and there are certainly things that I look at and I'm like, that's just bullshit. But then there's the place I always get stuck is they did moon launches and all this for 15, 20 years, and they kept it under wraps with all of these assholes that allegedly went up there for most of that time. And I know for a fact it is hard to keep a secret between me and my son in my house, let alone hundreds of people that are on, you know, in the control room that are allegedly on the rockets, all that stuff. So I'm not saying I'm a believer or non-believer. I'm probably hopelessly confused.
Okay. But there have been 6 moon landings between 1969 and 1972. 6. Now, I understand there may be a lot of people. Look, NASA isn't as big, was not as big as it is now back then. And we haven't really done anything since then. What have we done? Now, with all the technology that we have and assholes that are ridiculously rich, like an Elon Musk or the guy with Virgin Airlines or whatever he is, I mean, we should be building fucking apartment buildings on the moon by now. If the Earth is going to die, like Al Gore said 20 years ago in 10 years, then why haven't we taken that technology and moved up there, or at least started planting shit up there or doing something that could further humanity?
Right. Well, you know, let's remember, too, you know, NASA is part of the military-industrial complex.
Absolutely.
But they really did their best to give us the fuzzy Disney feelings for it, you know, throughout history. Even going back to the Nazi Wernher von Braun, who personally executed Jews in his rocket laboratory in Germany, we took him under our wing. He was grandfather of rocketry, excuse me. And his V2 rockets were what was going to be used to actually take us to the moon back in the 60s. Now, at first, he was basically saying that there's no way we could build something big enough to go to the moon. You would need like a rocket the size of the Empire State Building to even consider getting out of Earth's atmosphere and what have you. And they did get him to change his tune after that. I'm sure being a Nazi, they could go, dude, we're gonna Nuremberg your ass if you don't change your tune. You know what I mean? And so then they totally whitewashed this guy. They put him on Disney. They do all these documentaries and put him on there. So Walt Disney's has a Nazi on his show, and basically he's doing the science, you know, portion, showing all the kids and getting their attention for what's coming down the road. One notable event, are you familiar with Gus Grissom that died, who was a previous, it wasn't part of the Apollo 11 crew.
I've heard it. Yeah.
Right. You know, he knew that there was no way they were going to get to the moon. In fact, he hung a LEM on the LEM. The LEM was the lunar module that they were basically designing. Like if you go back and start looking at their R&D research that NASA was doing to make rockets, like all of it was a disaster. Everything they did was blowing up. For one, you know, Earth, we have an atmosphere here, so rockets can actually perform here because we have an atmosphere. But like if there's no atmosphere, how the hell, what are they pushing off of? You know what I mean? So to even do some of the tests they were doing, there's no way they would know how that was going to react up there. But it was interesting that Gus was so outspoken, and he was like, this is a piece of shit. It's not going anywhere. In fact, look at it. Take a look at this. And he hangs a lemon on it. He hangs a lemon on the limb, which was pretty profound. And they were pissed that he did that. And so they basically killed him for it. They, sealed the hatch and set a fire and killed him. And that's a motivator right there. But to take it a step further, all the astronauts after that all had something in common. They were all Freemasons. So they all have taken an oath not to snitch on each other. They're part of a secret society. For one, it's interesting that they would even pick such people to be part of an American mission, because they're not taking an oath to our Constitution or anything like that. They have an oath to their society. That comes first and foremost. They're all, and I think they're all from Ohio, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe we could look further into
John
that.
Glenn is.
Yeah, they all are. They all are, which is pretty interesting. Going forward, how do they control these guys? It's like whatever motive they control them with, whatever motivates them. Fear, you know, oh, you love your wife, we're gonna kill her if you don't do what we say. You know, Buzz Aldrin enjoyed all the glitz and glamour that he got from all the years of giving him cars and, you know, going around these guys made a lot of money going around doing talks and shaking hands and kissing babies and all that, doing all their college appearances and stuff. They were multimillionaires, and they were, as long as they went along with this. But there's, go ahead. Is there a question?
Hey, well, let's be honest, Chris, even today you're seeing how people go along with the narrative without breaking and everything else. You think there's that many assholes out there that would honestly in the media promote somebody like Joe Biden and the way that this country is going? They all have a narrative. They all repeat the same words and the same catchphrases. You have all these people that are in on the same bullshit today, that kind of stuff.
Right.
You can control people if you want to control.
We're not talking about that many people. I mean, if you look, you know, which is funny, like if you take a look at the mission control at NASA, even back then, it was such a joke. It was like, you know, 20 people, which isn't a lot of people, you know, around. I'm guessing, looking at the footage, it wasn't a lot. It was like a couple dozen people working in there. None of them are doing anything. Okay. All the computers look like, you know, just bullshit, you know, computers. I don't know what it is. They're
lost in space gear.
Yeah. Everything's flashing. There's a bunch of, okay, let's get a bunch of flashlights. Everybody's smoking cigarettes. Okay, everybody. Everybody's got cigarettes going. Everybody's got drinks there and coffees around, all this sensitive equipment. And they're basically all just looking stressed out. Oh my God. And today they still do the same thing 60 years later. They'll show mission control. They'll show the giant penis, fire-breathing penis rocket that they have to put out. And this is all psychological. Okay, this huge penis they put out there, and then everybody, 3, 2, 1, and they go, and they're out, and then they all cheer, okay, and the thing goes up a little bit, and then you see it start to arc right away, like it goes up a few thousand feet, and all of a sudden it starts doing the McDonald's arc, and then they cut away and go to mission control. Oh my God, we're the greatest country on earth. I mean, these are 20 dudes or whatever back there that all sign NDAs. They all have non-disclosure agreements. They're all one mouth opening away from getting suicided, including the family dog, if they were to speak. If somebody was to threaten me, I would shut up really fast. You guys would be like, hey, I don't know, Eric, just quit the show. I don't know what happened. It's not going to take much to shut me up. I'll tell you right now. I don't like pain. I don't like torture. I don't like it. I mean, if they came to me and were like, hey, you got to shut up, I'd probably shut up. I really don't. I always think the worst and overthink shit anyway. And like, I would freak out. You know what I mean?
And like, I like money.
It's over.
And I like a lot of money. If they offered me a lot of money and said, shut the hell up, I absolutely would shut up too.
The snarky guy in me says, hey, put me up on one of those ships and I'll totally I'm not gonna shut up. I'll sing your praises and I'll tell everybody how stupid I was for thinking the other way with it. And I'll use my influence to get people to believe that this space program was totally legit and that we've been going there. But this is Gus Grisham's burnt out limb.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, they totally toasted him. His son is still going after them for that. He doesn't believe what they were saying. And this was, you know, tried to get swept under the rug. But, you know, in less than a year later, they're sending up Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong and Michael Collins. You didn't hear much from Michael Collins. Neil Armstrong's done a lot of talks. He said some weird cryptic stuff. You know, if we could even a few years before his death, he was doing talks and stuff, and he was like, man, if we could just peel back truth's layers, we could maybe get to the moon. You know, like, what? And then you got Buzz Aldrin, who there are so many videos of him, Buzzed Aldrin, drunk off his ass, talking shit to kids at schools. You know, basically like, I don't know if we went. I don't think we did. You know, it's like, right? You know, this guy's like crazy now, and they're, you know, it's funny.
He punched somebody in the face once.
Well, you're talking about Bart Sabrell. Bart Sabrell went up to all these astronauts and kind of ambushed them guerrilla style and was telling them, did they go to the moon? You're a liar. You never went to the moon. Put your hand on the Bible right now and say that you went to the moon. And all of them refused it. Michael Collins got pissed off and they threw him out of the house, and his son was like, do you want me to take care of him, dad? You know, got on whatever. And then he got up on Buzz Aldrin, and Buzz Aldrin punched him. He's like, you get away from me, Turner. But you know, like I would laugh if it was me and I had really went to the moon. You know, I'd probably laugh it off, or I'd do something. I don't know. I don't think I'd punch somebody in the face for that. You know what I mean?
Now, I actually produce a TV show, and that Bart guy is going to be on the TV show that I produce.
Great.
This week. And so I'm really interested to see what that guy has to say, because he's got a lot.
I've been watching Bart for years. You know, he seems pretty legit. The only thing I've heard about him, he did a great documentary on this that you should check out. It's called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. And it's pretty awesome. He has a lot of footage that was found where they're obviously faking how far away they were in the least. You could see Michael Collins holding out basically a circular cutout, and he's holding it in front of the window. Like they're trying to show that they were actually in low Earth orbit, but these guys were like holding this stencil thing up to make it look like they were that much further from the Earth, to make the Earth look like a circle, basically. But we're thinking that that was fake too, to even make you think they could get that high. That was like fakery within the fakery. Because, I mean, you're talking about the biggest mind fuckers on the planet, the CIA. Okay. The lengths that the CIA goes to screw with people's heads, there is no bounds to that. Watch a movie called Mirage Men, where they admit to driving a veteran who lived by the Vegas and Nevada, the Area 13. What is it, Chris?
Area 51,
excuse me. He was seeing some craft and he was trying to cooperate. He was trying to let them know at the base, hey, you know, I'm veteran. I'm seeing this footage. I just want to give it to you guys and do my part as an American to help out. And they totally proceeded to fuck with this guy till he went insane and had to be locked up. And they actually went as far as to go into his house, take his TV and swap it with the same looking TV and the same radio. And they were talking to the guy. They're like, hey, Spuds, you're fucking crazy or whatever. I don't know what they were saying to him, but the guy went nuts. Like, and they were driving him nuts, like to go that far, that they had that much time on their hands to go put a fake TV just like his in there. I mean, they'll do anything to trick people.
Again, I hate to bring it back to times of today, but it's true. The government can control whatever they want to control. They have a whole bunch of people that have been arrested and tossed into prison for January 6th, and they've called it an insurrection, yet nobody's ever been charged with an insurrection.
It was a guided tour, right, Seth? It was a guided tour.
Kind of was.
You know,
but it was. But the government has a way of tricking people into believing that this was an insurrection, yet nobody's ever been charged.
Never forget.
Right. And yet people are just locked up. I mean, the government can control what they want to control. Right.
Well, government, govern means control, and ment means mind. So controlling the narrative is important. These guys actually go around to universities and snatch up anyone that they think that could eventually be an engineer or anything like that. We just got word of that in our family, you know, that our son that was approached after school one day recently from NASA, like, oh, anybody have any questions? And he asked a question, hey, talk to me after class, you know. They're going to bring him in, and you know, he thinks it's going to be cool. He doesn't probably believe anything I do. He probably, as a young guy, for the most part, believes all this stuff. And I'm dating his mom. I don't want to like bum anybody out. I'm not even going to say anything, but it's like, I see how they do this. You know what I'm just saying? I see how they go around and snatch these people up, get them under their wing. Anybody who could be smart enough to figure stuff out later or start making devices that would help humanity, got to get them early, right out of school. Who are the smart people here? Okay. You and you come with us. And it's basically a jobs program for smart people.
Right.
You know, you got, like, if you're not smart, they'll make you a TSA agent at the airport. You know what I mean? And if you are smart, you're real smart, they'll take you over to NASA and just give you stupid stuff to work on. I think that, you know, the Apollo mission control, if those computers they're looking at are legit, they were probably feeding them the telemetry information. I mean, now out of nowhere, it's like they're using it to, you know, push Black History Month. They're like, oh, it's really these black ladies that solved it. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's all this. It's kind of interesting how they do that. I mean, this is back in the days where they had punch cards, okay?
Right.
Punch card computers. I mean, you've heard it joked about. Like, our iPhones are like alien technology from the future compared to, like, what these guys had. They were, like, sitting there, you know, I don't know which one it was, maybe Michael Collins allegedly doing all the algebra up there in the spacecraft to, like, navigate. It's just the most ridiculous thing ever. And really the game over point that everybody needs to just stop right here and stop the madness is a little something called the Van Allen belts, okay? Nothing gets past them. It is, like, the most insane radiation you can imagine. I mean, we really couldn't imagine it then. When those guys went, they didn't even realize it. Like, when Bart Sabrell, you know, hit up Michael Collins about it, he goes, so, you know, he was over at his house acting like it was going to be a regular interview, and then he kind of ambushed him with a few questions, you know what I mean? He's like, so the Van Allen belts, what's up with that? You know, like, he's all, I don't know if we even, I don't think we went that far. If we did, I don't know, we just must have gone right through them. Complete, utter horseshit. Because the whole reason they can't get back now is because of that. I mean, if you were to look at some of the latest missions that they kept kicking down the road, you know, oh, no, we're going to the moon next week. And they would just kick it down the road. They finally said that they went. But if you, like, actually take the 1 minute to look at whatever footage they're giving us for it, it looks like goddamn ColecoVision. Okay, it's like... It's the stupidest graphics you've ever seen. You can pull up any moon landing from any country right now and try to pull it up and look at it, whether you picked China, Japan, India, Russia, the United States. All of it looks like total garbage. They're just hoping you stopped at the headline and didn't go any further. There's nothing real about it. None of these agencies can get past the Van Allen belts. And the other thing is, if they're being honest about space being a vacuum, humans are mostly made of water, and if you put water in a vacuum, it'll boil. So there's no way those human bodies went up past into the vacuum of space, if you will. They had no protection against that. Their Hasselblad cameras had no radiation protection. They were just regular cameras. Everything about the mission is a joke. Everything that they allegedly brought up with them, like the moon buggy and all that, it's there's no way they fit all that in there. I think Chris said Chris, you went to the Kennedy Space Center?
I know. I did.
Yeah. You look at this thing and you couldn't fit three monkeys in there, let alone
it's tiny.
Three guys. Yeah, super tiny. When you see it, you're like, even as I don't know when you saw Chris, I was like 5, 2010. Okay, you saw it as with your adult mind. I saw it with my kid mind, and I was like, that's the thing? I was like, but it's so small. It didn't look like me and my classmates could get into it, let alone three.
We're going there this summer, so I'm interested to see what it's like.
So. You're going this summer? Yeah, please do. Go check it out.
I'm going down to Orlando the last week of June, and one of our trips we're going to go to is Kennedy Space Center. So I want to see what they say down there.
Well, you know what they said when they were, ships were looking for sunken treasure off Florida? They said there's a rocket graveyard there where there's literally thousands of NASA rockets at the bottom of the ocean. So they're definitely going up and kerplunking into the ocean from there. They're all still there. They're all literally still there.
See, I'm with Eric. You look at these things that we're doing now. It's making a big deal about these guys making rockets that go up into space. They're barely getting into the atmosphere before they stop.
Right. As I said earlier, like, you need an atmosphere for a rocket to work. How does a rocket work with nothing to push off of? It doesn't. Any SpaceX launch, and they do a lot of them. I've seen them for myself. It's pretty crazy to look at. I mean, it's a big ass rocket. You know what I mean? It looks otherworldly when you're seeing it go across the sky.
Across, yeah.
It's not going up. It's going across every time. I've never seen that thing going in an upward trajectory ever. And it's never been that far up. Everything they do, they make sure we can see it for our own eyes, that you don't need some special telescope. That goes for everything. That goes for the space station. That goes for this thing that SpaceX has, the that satellite Starlink.
Yeah, Starlink,
right?
Yeah.
Right. Like I saw somebody take a picture of a super moon and Starlink's in the background, you know, of it. It's like, how are you seeing this? You know what I mean? Like, obviously, it's not that high off up there, for one. And number two, how's it up there? How's it hanging up there? I've told Chris this before. Get ready to laugh. Helium balloons.
I'm laughing.
You know, if you look up balloon satellite, if you were to Google that or anything, just look up balloon satellite and look up the images that come up with it. You'll see tons of these satellites and such with giant Mylar balloons. And they are literally just like weather balloons from back in the day. They have giant helium balloons. The government buys the most helium of anyone, and in fact, like here in California, you can't even use helium anymore. When I was doing I don't work there anymore, but I was doing it for extra money. I was working at the flower shop, as the Chris Hagan Presents watchers know, and we would have the balloons, you know, they would use helium and I have to deliver the flowers, and sometimes the balloon would go whoop and like fly away, but they banned it. Yeah, there you go, Seth. That is a balloon satellite there, and they go really high and they're super strong, and they can hang up there like indefinitely, you know, and obviously they're being monitored and so forth, and probably once it does start to dip down, they send something up there to grab it, you know. We have jets that, you know, refuel each other up in the sky. I'm sure they have a gong show hook they can, you know, just fucking pull that thing away, or, you know, sometimes they crash, sometimes they fall out of the sky. 9 times out of 10 it falls right in the ocean, you know what I mean? But sometimes it falls in Africa or wherever it happened to be.
We have a guy that thinks the earth is flat, comes on the show every now and then.
Is he Eric me? Was on with him. Eric oh, was on with him.
That's right.
Remember, I lost the CMS channel to that.
Yeah, he thinks that the like everything above is like lights and stuff like that, that, you know.
It's not Truman Show.
Truman Show. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. I do remember him, and no disrespect to your guests. I thought that I was a little wary of him because, again, there's a lot of controlled opposition out of there, and sometimes they can put these guys on a media blitz or whatever, where they're basically getting channels taken down by tying things in. Anytime they get too religious with it, I kind of back up a little bit. It's like, hey, hold on. That guy definitely has some good points, but, you know, it's scary because once somebody starts like rambling about a bunch of stuff, it turns a lot of people off, and there's a lot of people that aren't religious people, and if you want to get them to run the other way, that's a great way to do it, you know. Like, how much am I talking about religion right now?
Right.
I'm trying to stick to facts. I don't know about religion. Hopefully I find out when I die. You know what I mean? But for now, I listen to the universe. I try to, like, you know, I the supernatural essence of it and what's going on and our frequencies. I could get all hippy dippy with it. You know what I mean? But like, I don't know. You know, I don't want to be foolish about it. You know, I mean, God's never come down and spoken to me personally and given me any instructions. I would probably check myself into a mental facility if that happened. You know what I mean? There is a creator. I do feel, obviously, I should say, it goes without saying, that I think everything on this planet was created. I am in the agreement that what we see in space, as far as the constellations and the stars and the planets that are visible in our galaxy, it's a giant sky clock of sorts that predates humanity, and it was always there to inspire us and help direct our sailors, you know, at sea and so forth. And it's amazing. It's utterly amazing. And it's breathtaking to watch the sky, and I want to get go back to having a telescope. I've been eyeing which telescope would be good to have. It's amazing. But as far as what it is the moon something you can actually even land on? I think maybe not. I don't think it is something. I mean, it seems to give off its own cold light, which you would think if what we're seeing is the sun reflecting off the moon, you would think it would be warmer, the reflection of the moonlight. See, but it's
Chris is just sitting back here with like this look on his face. Like, he doesn't.
I'm just laughing. Like,
he's laughing. He's having
there you go. There you go. There's somebody that landed on the moon. That's real, right?
Yeah, that doesn't.
That's real, right? I mean, other than there being no stars anywhere, it's pretty real looking.
You know, it's sad when they asked those guys when they came down. They had a press conference. This is Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, Michael Collins. You can look these up. The first thing that they did, I think the press conference was the first thing, and they came. No. This behind me. You see this here. You see Nixon. I guess because I'm not on full screen, you're not seeing the goofy Nixon photo. But they did a lot of propaganda for the White House at that point. Like Nixon was in his office calling these guys on the phone in real time. You know what I mean? With his curly Q phone cord, and they're Houston's patching them in with the guy with our boys up there. You know, hey guys, so how's it going? It's going pretty good. Sure. It is completely ridiculous. But when they landed, you guys can look this up for yourself. Look up the Nixon press conference for the Apollo guys. They stick these guys in this little goofy Hornet plus three little it looks like one of those trailers, right? An Airstream. It's like chopped like the back half of an Airstream and fucking stuck it there for these guys to go get. Okay, get in there, president's gonna come over. And then they have these guys like walking, spraying. It looks like the old weed killer cans that you'd spray like weed killer and stuff in your yard in the 70s or something. Like they're walking around spraying that like they're in case these guys brought back any alien flu or something. You know,
well, you can wash radiation off with a spray can, can't you?
Yeah, you just water it down. You just it's just water in there.
I'm putting this text up right here.
Love it. He's pissing off half the crowd. I love it.
But yeah. So you watch him.
He thinks that LeBron James is the best basketball player of all time, so he's a dick already. And then he also thinks that the Browns are like the greatest football team of all time, and that the massage guy that we have as quarterback is going to win us a Super Bowl. So if he says this, then you know that you and I are correct on everything.
Right. No, John Drake's totally entitled to believe whatever he likes. What I'm doing is science facts here. You know what I mean? Thank you, Don Perry. Don Perry, super fan, super Piercy fan there. Jackpot. This guy's thank you, sir. Haboo 6.
Well, but this guy contradicts him.
Yeah, okay. Cracker. Well, that wasn't very kind. You know, it's funny when they did their press conference, you've never seen a more bummed out group of three people than Buzz Aldrin, Michael Collins and Neil Armstrong when they're doing their press conference. And these guys look so bummed out. They're just like, I mean, if you just came back from pulling off the greatest accomplishment of mankind, we're happier right now just being on this podcast together than these guys were. We're more happy to be here and excited than these guys who allegedly just went to the moon on a pretty much a suicide mission and back. And you'd think they'd be like, oh, my God, dude, you guys, you would not believe what it's like to be up there. You know, you think you know, but you don't know. No, it wasn't anything like that. These guys were just like, they're like, so did you see a lot of stars or what? Stars? I don't know. Buzz, do you remember seeing any stars? No, you didn't. No, I don't think we saw any stars. I mean, there's no atmosphere up there. There's no pollution. There's nothing to like block our view of the stars. You know what I mean? Like they would have a great view of the stars from there, but that's not even the problem. First, you got to explain how they got past the Van Allen belts with no, the only thing that can protect you from that kind of radiation is lead or gold. There's only two things that'll stop that radiation from flying right through, and there was those two items. Unfortunately,
well, there was gold trash bags on the lander. I saw them.
Well, this thing looks like a homeless tweaker shelter when you look at it. Yes. You're like, you got to be kidding me. Curtain rods, tin foil, it's a joke. But no, you would need some serious lead. I mean, in the least, kind of like when you're at the dentist's office and they put the lead bib. You know, that heavy, you know, pretty thick. You would need some of that, but this isn't very conducive for getting a rocket out of here. You can't put a lead rocket, you know what I mean? A Led Zeppelin, if you will. You know what I mean? It's just, it's foolish to think that they have the technology to do this. Who's responsible for making this great masterpiece? Yeah, this is the homeless tweaker shelter, which is it's absolute joke to think this thing would make it there. This is something that you would expect a high school acting class to make for their little stage production. And there's a point where you're just kidding yourself, you know, but I'm not going to act like I always knew this. I mean, as a kid, the last Apollo mission was in 1972, the year I was born. So after that, they would interrupt the TV to show some space stuff here and there. It always looked really slow motion-y and goofy, and I wasn't really into it. It looked dangerous. I didn't understand what they were doing. And I just, when situations as a kid like that, I usually just kind of dismiss it and move on. I was never into playing with toys that were about outer space so much, aside from Star Wars. But and most of those cases, in my mind, they were in the atmosphere of, you know, Endor, you know, wherever. the space thing, I didn't really buy it, but it wasn't until probably around 2010 or 11 that YouTube was getting pretty prevalent with conspiracy stuff, and I started seeing like footage being put on there, and I saw some footage of the Apollo guys going through some cavern on the moon where all of a sudden they discover some aliens in there, and like it looked like Chinese aliens, and I was like, oh my god, what is this that I've stumbled upon here on YouTube? I mean, I was gullible. There was times in my life where I was totally gullible, okay? And I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. And I remember I went to a friend of mine. I go, dude, what do you think? I mean, did they find these aliens? Because, you know, at this point, we're coming up on 2012, and there was like a lot of revelations, and I was trying to figure out life and figure out everything. And that he was the one who brought it up to me. I go, the moon landings. Did we go to see these Chinese aliens there? And he's like, dude, we never went to the moon. And I go, what? And I go, but I didn't dismiss him or make fun of him. I was like, wait a second. That kind of makes sense. And everything started to click for me watching the rockets, you know, kerplunk, you know, do the arc, everything, the small, it all flashed back to me. And I go, oh my God. And I started looking up stuff about that. And that's where I came across like Bart Sobrell's, you know, video, if a funny thing happened on the way to the moon. And later I would run into other creators, podcasters and stuff that were doing some really great stuff. A lot of the people I follow got kicked off of YouTube and stuff pretty quick on. And I don't know, when there's people that still get to have their show about it, you wonder if they are a controlled, you know, opposition or what have you. But it was back then that I started looking into it, and that's when I found out some more proof of scientifically how they wouldn't have been able to do it. The actual movie that we watched of the moon landings, it's funny. Somebody just posted this the other day. Did you know that these guys have a star on the Hollywood Walk? They literally have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and it has, you know, for what you are, if you're a musician, you'll have a microphone. Yeah. If you're a movie star, it has a camera. It has a camera, and it says for Apollo 11, and has those three guys. It's a movie star. It's a movie. That's what they are. They're movie stars. It was a movie that was made by Stanley Kubrick, of all directors, one of the greatest directors of back then, whose work still stands up today. It's a known fact. He had been working with NASA. He had had a friendship with them. He used some of their lenses and stuff for his films. They needed to fake this moon landing. They needed to fake it, and he was the only guy that could kind of pull it off. And he really did do a pretty great job of it. I've seen, you know, some takes on how he did it. I know that there was in the desert, I think in Nevada or Arizona, they had a whole moon track that they made that was like pretty long, because they had to take a camera and basically run it. Like if you watch the moon landings, like they kind of come in towards the moon and it kind of shows the moon coming at them. So they filmed that by like using this track here on Earth. They had a camera that was just really on a track that just went down and watched the whole moon thing. And when you watch it, it looks kind of cheesy today. Another thing that should be noted is when they allowed the media to come in for this huge event, the greatest achievement of mankind, they were dismayed to find out that NASA wasn't going to let them film it live, that they actually were going to make them watch it on a shitty black and white TV in a back room.
For their safety.
It made no sense whatsoever. I mean, this thing was filmed in black and white, which made no sense because color was around. Okay, color had been around for about 5 or 8 years. So not to use, and this was a huge Kodak moment, by the way. Kodak was like really involved in this, you know what I mean? And Hasselblad, the cameras and stuff, it was a Kodak film. It was just regular fucking film. It's not some radiation proof film. Okay, you can't put your goddamn shit at the airport through a thing, but you're gonna put this film through the Van Allen belts. Okay. But what else was there? Stanley Kubrick, if you watch the movie The Shining, he gives tons of like Easter eggs about working on this movie. What's interesting is The Shining, like if you read the Stephen King book, it's completely different than the movie. Okay. Stanley Kubrick basically used The Shining movie as a vehicle to kind of give his testimony, if you will, of having worked on it. There's so many little clues on there. The little kid wearing the Apollo sweater, and he's got the thing. There's dialogue in the movie where, you know, he's talking about, Jack Nicholson's talking about his duty to his keepers and keeping his word, and you know, all these things. There's lots of interesting stuff. I recommend a documentary called Room 237, and you can kind of see some of the stuff in there. But he got in a lot of trouble for that. I think they even whacked some of his friends for that. And he got freaked out, and he spent the rest of his life on his own property. He filmed every movie for the rest of his life at home. He never left. He never left again. He was so freaked out by whatever they did to him to scare him. Because I think they respected the guy, but they didn't like what he was making. Because artists and movie producers always do that shit. And they always have, going back thousands of years. They've always put little Easter eggs in their paintings and stuff to like kind of express themselves without getting in trouble with the church or, you know, whatever. This little things that only higher minded people might cue on to or whatever. But definitely, if you watch that movie, you could see a lot of going on there. What's his name? Stephen King hated the movie. He hated what he did to it. But it was interesting that he would choose to do this. But it was definitely the first one was, I believe, Stanley Kubrick. Now, the other space missions after that, once he showed them how to do the movie framing of it and everything, I don't think they had to do too much. They could even keep the same set probably after that, you know.
They brought in the low budget guys.
Yeah, they brought in the low budget guys, and it continued to just look shitty and shitty, you know. And you look at the last mission, the 1972 one, and you watch the Lem taking off. It looks so cheesy. You know what I mean? It's like little sparks coming out of it. You know what I mean? Like as it takes off, and people have always joked, well, who's filming that? And they're like, oh, shut up, man. It was a special high-tech remote control camera. People are fucking delusional. Okay. The pass that they give, because I think what it is all of the Americans are really proud of this for some reason. And they feel like they went to the moon or that this reflects on them.
Well, but that was the whole mission that they were spewing at the time was Kennedy's big statement. Yeah. Was, you know, it's us against the Russians. We're going to win. It was, you know, almost sports-like. And at the same time, then they whacked Kennedy. So there was the, well, we got to do it for JFK, right. You know, wasn't that part of the big speech?
We're going to go to the moon, and we're not going because it's easy. We're going because it's hard. Like but my what? Boyfriend's wiener. Did you know that he was gay? JFK? He's, you know, they named the Lem after his boyfriend. His boyfriend's name was Lem, and you can look that up. It's they put it as his best childhood friend. His best friend is Lem, but there's plenty of pictures of them in matching bathing suits, arm in arm, going down the beach. You can look at all this for yourself. He's at least half gay. At least I know he gave birth and had a wife.
The bottom half.
The bottom half from the waist down, as Chris specified, is super gay, and they like. Obviously, as a tribute, they named the Lem after his boyfriend. And as Chris is right, this was like he made this boast. We're going to go to the moon in 10, which was ridiculous. We can't even go today. We're going to do something that they can't do 60 years from now in 10 years. And he was gone. Yeah, whatever happened there, the whole Kennedy thing. That was a little interesting side note. You can look up Lem was named after his boyfriend.
I have to say, this has been my all-time favorite show. One, I haven't had to say a whole lot, and it was fantastic.
Eric, you'll come back and do this again, right? You love talking this shit.
Yeah. I mean, this is all stuff that this isn't, you know, wasn't originally my research. You know what I mean? People like Bart Sobrell and people, I take a little bit from everybody and I've had a lot of time to digest it. But, you know, the moon landings was the first thing that I knew was a, you know, BS thing. I mean, the flat earth thing came way, what came in like 2015 when I ran into, came across, it wasn't Mark Sargent first. It was actually, I'm forgetting the dude's name because he kind of dropped off after it, but he was the one that brought the attention. This does tie in with the Apollo missions, but in 1972, the United States released the first picture of Earth from space. Before that, there was none. And it's possible that they even made this whole Apollo missions just to get this picture. And the picture is known as the Blue Marble. And the Blue Marble, if you guys find that, if you find that photo, it turns out that it is a painting.
Yes.
It's actually a high realism painting. And this artist had that I was watching in 2015 brought that to my attention. And then zoom, right after that, it suggested Mark Sargent, who came in and kind of turned everything on its head with a documentary called Flat Earth Clues, which, you know, covers a lot of this. And, you know, it's, yeah, this right here is not a real photo, sadly. I even questioned it as a kid because I saw it on the back on blown up on, in the classroom. And I go, you know what? This looks like my Star Wars posters that were painted, you know, the movie posters from the 70s and 80s, where they would literally have artists back then that would hand paint album covers and hand paint posters and all that stuff. And this was a high realism, you know, painting. It's kind of like an airbrushed fucking painting. It's sad, but true. And the bigger it's blown up, the easier it is to tell. When you see it small, it's not so much. You see it big, it's obvious. It wasn't until 2014 when iPhone was going to show another picture. And even that guy that made the photo that was on our iPhones when we got him, that admits that that's a CGI because there wasn't any Earth for him to like use for it. Obama was the first one. The President Obama, I know it's Seth's favorite president.
Oh, yeah.
He's great. He released the first photo in 40 years he did during his presidency where they finally started putting some other pictures of Earth. But it's so funny because anyone listening right now, look up picture of Earth from space and you're going to be really bummed out to see about 40 different photos that look nothing alike. And they're all completely different in color, the size of the continents. I mean, some of them say sex in the clouds, you know, it's like obvious that it's just all BS. It gets kind of scary when you first look at it, you're like, read, it's like finding out your parents are serial killers. You know what I mean? It's like, it's hard to accept. And you're like, bullshit, get out of here. Excuse me. I had a bubble in my throat. Get out of here with that nonsense. My parents are great people, you know, or whatever. No, like it turns out they would totally lied to us about all this, you know, and basically it's to, you know, keep control of the narrative, show you, no, this is your home. You're flying through outer space and your only hope is us, you know? I actually got, a feeling of goodness. And when I realized that it's not as they're saying, you know, that this place actually is created and we're all souls here in our soul containers. And, you know, they're doing so much to keep us fighting each other. It's amazing. Nobody wants to point the finger at the government really, you know, or anything they've done to us in the last 4 years. They want to believe we went to the moon. They want to believe, you know, the boop boops work for the C word, you know, all these things. It's just, people have lost their minds and it couldn't have been done without the help of the television, the radio, the internet. You know what I mean?
People like John Drake who are just followers. You know, they don't have a mind of their own.
When LeBron lands on the moon, then it'll be real.
With Deshaun Watson. Yes.
John Drake was cool enough to sit in for me one day. I'll never say a bad word about that man.
I will. He's a cunt.
Oh, what? No. No, I don't, you know, people are gonna have to come to grips with this on their own schedule. I'm not going to push my views. You guys invited me on here. I would have talked about whatever you wanted. But when it comes to that, obviously, I mean, you could tell I have some knowledge on it after all these years. Absolutely. I didn't really have to study up for the show today. I mean,
what?
This is all things that are, you know, I've had going on in my head for almost two decades. So
I came flooding out.
Sorry.
Well, I appreciate you coming on.
I love it. I do. So. I love it. Well, come back on again, dude. And tell everybody about your other fine, fantastic show that you do.
Right. Well, when I'm not busting NASA's balls, if you will, I have a show called Sea Glass Hunters it's not exclusively on my subscriber page. What I've been doing is like every other episode I've been putting on my subscriber page. So when people start getting into it, they can see the value of going over and watching the other episodes. But I basically shoot it right here at the Beach Mansion West. I walk outside. I take my camera and I go looking for sea glass. I find other treasures too, though. So I'm finding everything from sea life, you know, crabs and, you know, bird life out there. I find bones out there. We had a bone mystery where we were trying to find out like what these bones were. I was finding like really cool stuff. What else, Chris? What else have I found on there? He watches the show.
Yeah, I do watch it, but the bones are the one that got me.
The bones are weird. I find dead carcasses of animals and stuff. There's trippy stuff that you find on the beach every day. Sand dollars. That's like, people are amazed that I find sand dollars. Like, I went from like finding one and think it was the coolest thing to now every morning I walk out and I always find, you know, a good handful of sand dollars that amazes people. What am I doing with all this stuff? Well, I'm soon to be working with my fellow guitar buddy Pete Evick from the Brett Michaels Band. I'm going to be sending him some of the stuff I collect, and he's going to make cool stuff with it, like his candles and stuff. He puts seashells on and sea glass, and maybe we'll do that for charity or whatever. And he'll soon to be become part of this series that I do. But if your listeners can find my Facebook, they'll probably find a post where they see my subscriber group. I appreciate it. It's only $1 a month to be a subscriber, and I do so much cool stuff. I have the Sea Glass Hunters show. One of the characters from the Chris Aiken Presents is Stoic Steve, which is a fill-in. He's a professional fill-in that from time to time fills in for me. I hired Steve to do a cooking show right out of my house. Cooking to Die For with Stoic Steve is another series that gets put on my subscriber channel. I do backstage stuff from all these big concerts I'm at, where all of a sudden I'll just turn on the camera and just walk around and mess with people. And I don't put this, my regular Facebook is cool and everything, and I'll continue to have stuff on there for the freeloaders. But for the people that like love what I do or love me, and they want to make sure that I'm my cats are fed or whatever, you know, they got $12 a year, you know, which is less than what a CD or a t-shirt costs. I mean, you're going to get your money's worth. My favorite thing that we do, though, without a doubt, is Chris Aiken and me and Count Krakula. Okay. Right. Another character. We do a watch along every month, usually the last Tuesday. It's called the Tuesday Night Fright Bite. And it's funny as hell. We party. We watch terrible movies that Chris picks out, and we make fun of them. And everybody gets to join in. Everybody that's a subscriber or part of the CMS locals,
yep,
gets a free pass. We send each one of them a link?
A link, yeah.
You get a personal link from us to go watch this thing on StreamYard. That's not anywhere else.
And this month, I forget what the date is, whatever the date is of it, is Six-Headed Shark Attack. Yep. Can't wait to watch that one.
May 28th, Chris. May 28th.
May 28th will be the watch-along of Six-Headed Shark Attack.
I'm going to sign up for this, man.
Yeah. It's well, really, our close bros, we can send a link to.
Send you a link. It's really goofy. It really, first of all, Eric gets really stoned. I get really drunk.
What?
I get really drunk, and and it just turns into silliness.
Allegedly.
Not on my end. Yes. I do get really drunk. And believe me, come September, when they start selling weed here, I will get really stoned as well. I have no shame in my game.
Sugar Smack's going to have to get some deliveries sent to your house.
Exactly. Well, dude, this has been awesome, man.
Yeah, thank you, man.
And just real quick, if you haven't had enough of Eric, like John, the rest of you, except for John Drake, you can go get yourself a sandwich, take a breath, And Eric and I will be back at 8 o'clock on Chris Aiken Presents.
That's right.
So I have no idea what we're talking about because I don't even think you played gigs this week, did you?
No, I'm taking off this week, but no, there's. I mean, we could talk about things, Mother's Day.
Yeah, we'll figure shit out.
About fans' demands for photos, whatever.
Oh, yeah, we'll figure some shit out. But it's always goofy over there. A lot more dirty than this show.
Well, thank you, Seth, for having me on, man.
Matt. Thank you, man. I appreciate you coming on, dude.
Anytime. Best of luck with the show. I love it. I watch the Seth show myself.
All right. All right, brother. See you later, man.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There goes Eric.
Good time.
Wow, that went super fast. I love that it. You know what I love more than anything? That it pisses people off.
Oh, yeah.
It's John like.
Having, like you said, an aneurysm.
And I, you know, I'm not buying 90% of it either. I'm right there with John. I know you believe it.
No, I'm on board with what he had to say.
And I'm not, and that's fine. I don't have to be. But I love the fact that people get mad that someone else doesn't see it their way.
I'm pretty sure
that YouTube makes me so happy.
Pretty sure YouTube is mad. We'll cancel the show once.
I'm sure. I'm positive this gets a content strike, and I don't give a shit.
Yeah, but I appreciate him coming on, and he's fun, man. And I do. You know, I believe a lot of what he says. He's got his research,
dude. He did. Whether you believe him or you don't, you can't say that he's coming in at uninformed. And that's all you ask for in anybody. In anybody with an opinion is come in informed, even if your information is all bullshit.
Yep.
At least he was informed, and I'm good with that. It's fine with me. All good.
Wednesday, don't know what we're doing, but we will be giving you extra content at 5:30. So sign up for Minds at minds.com/Seth Williams Show.
Yes.
We should do more shit like that at 6:30 or at 5:30.
If Eric's around, I could get him back.
But, talk to you on Wednesday. Appreciate everybody watching today, and thanks to Eric for coming on. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
I got to go find my daughter a prom dress now.
Fun times.
And I'm having a salad for dinner, so I'm looking forward to that.
I got to go eat something. I'm fucking starving. So.
All right, man.
All right, thanks, see y'all.
We will talk to you on Wednesday.
See ya.
See ya.
Get ready to turn up the excitement at your next event with the Perfect Choice Band, the ultimate party starters in Ohio and beyond. Picture this, two electrifying vocalists, a powerhouse rhythm section, and a horn ensemble that will blow you away. That's right, the Perfect Choice Band isn't just another cover band. We're here to transport you to the heart of the party with unforgettable renditions of your favorite hits. From classics to chart toppers, we've got your playlist covered. Our mission? To keep you singing and dancing until the stars fade into dawn. So, why settle for ordinary when you can have extraordinary? Call 440-346-5242 or visit us at perfectchoiceband.com to book the ultimate entertainment experience for your special day. The Perfect Choice Band, where every moment is music to your ears. Don't miss out. Book now and let's make memories together.